This is KUT.
KUT, Austin.
Stop.
As of March 29th, there were 200 cases of COVID-19 in the Austin-Travis County area. At the front lines of the fight against the pandemic are healthcare workers, people like nurses and doctors. KUT spoke with an ER doctor in Austin about how her life has changed since all this began. Here is her story.
I'm Jamie Jones. I'm an emergency medicine physician in Austin. When somebody comes in with possible COVID-19 infection, we ask them about their symptoms. You know, do you have a fever? Do you have a cough? Are you having any shortness of breath? The folks that we're admitting with COVID-19 are mainly those who are having a lot of trouble breathing. And often we'll see things on their chest x-ray, some kind of haziness, some fluffiness, consistent with like a viral pneumonia sort of pattern. I'm so far not seeing as many elderly folks who have this. I'm more seeing people in their 30s, 40s, 50s who are getting admitted to the hospital. So it's not just an old person's disease. If they need to be intubated, they get intubated, and otherwise they're given oxygen and brought upstairs. We have kind of very little with which to treat this right now. One of the things that stuck with me is how alone people are forced to be when they get this disease. You know, we're not allowing visitors in the hospital, which is the right thing to do, but when you're there and you're sick and you can't breathe well and you're scared, and not having anybody who loves you with you is really, really hard. I've been hearing a lot through colleagues who are on the coastal cities about what they're seeing there, and it's not like anything that we've seen in this country before. You know, they are running out of masks, they're using bandanas, they're running out of other personal protective equipment and reusing N95 masks multiple days. They're having to put multiple patients on the same ventilator, which is really pretty unheard of. And it's just not something you would ever think would happen in a first world, medically forward, developed country, but here we are. I think that we could easily get there, and we may get there for a short time. We don't know quite how exponentially this is going to grow, but I'm hopeful that we have learned something of a lesson from watching the coastal cities start with this pandemic sooner than we, and hopefully got things locked down in time that our curve will be much flatter much sooner. If nothing changes in a week, I think that we're going to have large numbers of people admitted to the hospital. We're going to have people on ventilators. We're going to have more people who died. Because again, even if we all keep the quarantine perfectly, there's still those out in our community who are already infected who just haven't gotten that sick yet. I have a four-year-old daughter, and right now she's staying with my parents up in Georgetown. She's been there for a little over a week, and I see them a couple of times a week outside always and at a distance always. But we made the decision when this started, not knowing kind of how often I would have to be at the hospital and what home life would look like here in Austin, and if I would have to be kind of quarantining myself away from her anyways, to keep her up there with them where she could, you know, have stability that I might not be able to offer her here. There are some bad germs out there, and that mama's taking care of the sick people with bad germs, but the germs like to jump, and so we don't want the germs to jump from me to her, and we kind of practice air hugs from a distance and blowing kisses. She's really happy, and that's really good, but it's really hard. It's hard to see her and not be able to hug her or to hug my parents. And I think it's also hard being on the front lines of this and not knowing where the end is. You know, how long is this going to go on, and will we have the resources that we need to help people? I wear a surgical mask, so it's not an N95. It's just one of those kind of paper masks with the ear loops. And then over that, I wear a plastic visor that kind of attaches to my forehead and then just comes down but is open on the bottom. And I'll wear a disposable gown and gloves. We are also more and more trying to limit the use of personal protective equipment each day, so how many masks and gowns and gloves a provider is going through. When you arrive in the morning, they check your temperature, they issue your surgical mask, and that is your mask for the whole day. As this gets worse over the next couple of weeks, which it is going to do, it's not a failure of the quarantine, of the self-isolation, and that we in the hospital are really depending on all of you to hold the line, because we don't have enough to treat this if we see too many sick people flooding the hospitals all at once and more people are going to die. Everything that you do, every little social contact, that matters. And the more we can limit them, the better chance we have of coming through this as a community. I think the other question is, if nothing changes as far as our self-isolation procedures, where are we going to be in 2 or 3 weeks or in a month? And I think then we will hopefully be seeing the downward slope of this curve and be coming out the other side.